90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City, Community Radio. Streaming online at www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Good morning and welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Today our guests are Ms. Evelyn Maddox and Mrs. Ellen Miller of the League of Women Voters. And before we get started, I want to read this disclaimer. This discussion is about the ballot for Kansas City, Missouri and Kansas City, Kansas, Johnson County area. This discussion is to inform and educate the public about the ballot and matters on the ballot. We will not make any endorsements or recommendations about whether you should vote for one candidate or another. What's most important is that you exercise your right to vote and that your voice is heard and that your vote is counted. Good morning, ladies, and welcome to Cowtown Conversations.
Good morning.
Ms. Maddox, can you briefly tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and how long you've been a member of the League of Women Voters?
Well, thank you, and let me say we do thank you for this opportunity to talk to your listeners, Joseph, and we certainly appreciate the series that you have undertaken before this primary election. I have been a member of the League of Women Voters of Kansas City, Jackson, Clay, and Platte counties for just about 4 years now. I currently hold the position of co-president with Rosemary Durkin. We have an active membership working to register voters, to educate voters, and to urge them out to the polls, and even now to remind them to go vote. My background is from business like yours, and I have lived in Kansas City for 20 years now after having grown up in central Kansas with a detour to Houston for a few years. But I am now a Missouri resident and proud to be working with the League of Women Voters on behalf of Missouri residents.
Ms. Miller, can you briefly tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how long you've been a member of the League of Women Voters in Johnson County?
Well, I am the sole president of the League of Women Voters in Johnson County, been a member for about 10 years, retired at this moment, but was a consultant for strategic planning by governance bodies. That means city councils, water boards, library boards, did that for 20-plus years.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the League of Women Voters?
I'd be happy to. The first thing to know is that we are a nonpartisan group. Now, what does that mean? That we neither support nor oppose candidates or parties, and there are three major priorities that the League has at all levels, whether it's national, state, or local. Voter rights. The first one is we register folks who are 18 and citizens. We go to high schools, food festivals, food pantries, farmers markets to register people. That's the first one. Second one is transparency. We testify before state and local officials on important public issues and attend their meetings to find out what is going on. And finally, the third major priority is empowering voters. We hold candidate events in a variety of ways and places, and we have an online voter guide. You'll hear a lot about it today, vote411.org, that has candidates for each of the offices, and they have been asked a set of standard questions, and their responses are right there. So you can go to vote411.org and see what did the candidates say and compare that. And finally, in Johnson County, as I'm sure is true on the Missouri side, we have monthly meetings on important issues such as gun control, juvenile justice, and affordable housing.
That sounds like more than a mouthful, and in today's times, it's something that's definitely really needed. Is the League of Women Voters just for women, or can men join the League of Women Voters?
Oh, I'd want to answer that question. We in the Kansas City League have probably 5 men in our membership right now, and we have men joining all the time. Men have been eligible to join the League of Women Voters nationally since, I think it was 1989. So we are increasingly a membership of both men and women.
And I'd like to add to that, out of our membership in Johnson County, we have 9 folks who are running for either local, state, or national offices right now, and 2 of those are men members.
So the important work that the League of Women Voters does on voter education and voter forums, how is that conducted? Do you go door-to-door? Do you attend neighborhood meetings? How do you get the word out to people about voting?
We in the Kansas City League do hold forums. When a position is on the ballot, we consider inviting all. We always invite all candidates, if we invite any, to a forum. Those candidates will be competing for the same position. We will not hold that forum unless there are at least 2 candidates from opposing parties. So our volunteers put in the time to find the place, to send the invitations to the candidates, and to fully organize publicity and all events surrounding the forum. That we recently held a forum for the county executive, and our ability to hold a forum depends mainly on the response of the candidates. Some candidates are more willing than others.
So, and if I could add to that about Johnson County, one thing that's important probably for both of us, Evelyn, is the use of both our websites and social media. YouTube and particularly Facebook are ways of getting out information about these upcoming events as well as our own meetings that deal with more with public issues.
Yes, I agree. And getting out the vote by encouraging people to be an educated voter is very much one of our missions, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And that's definitely what we're going to do today, is seek to educate our voters. So for the Missouri chapter, when do you meet? When are your meetings for the Missouri chapter?
We meet on the 3rd Saturday of the month, and we meet at Community Christian Church at 4501 Main Street. That's on the plaza across from what is known as the Horse Fountain.
And what time do you meet?
We have a hospitality time at 9:30, but our program, which is always a speaker about a topic that is relevant and of interest to voters, starts at 10.
And for the Kansas chapter, when do you meet?
Well, we'll start our new year on September 8th, and we do Saturdays as well in the morning, 9 o'clock, have a little breakfast kind of opportunity there, and then speaker. And often we have what we're calling sort of a little ABC get-together afterwards for folks who would like to know something specifically about league land and our practices and norms.
And, Ellen, at our meetings, the audience always has opportunity to question the speaker. Is that true for you?
Absolutely.
So can anybody attend one of your meetings, or do you have to be a member?
It's open.
Yes, we invite the public. Yes, the more visitors we have at a meeting, the happier we are.
Agree with that.
In our system of democracy, we have 2 elections. We have a primary election and the general election. Ms. Maddox, can you explain what the primary election is?
Yes, the primary election is held to result in a winning candidate from a party, and then that one candidate, typically for a position, there'll only be one winning candidate from each party to appear on the general election ballot. The primary is, I think it's always held in August. That's probably a matter of regulation, and the general in November.
And if I could make an analogy to that, the primary is like the first rounds of a tournament where
yes.
There are several folks who are trying to compete to be named by their party to be the one who then faces the individual who will be there in the November general election.
Now, in Missouri, Ellen, each of our voters must declare a party for the primary only. I want a ballot for this particular party. And then the voter can vote only for candidates declaring for that party.
You're right. Same thing in Kansas.
And I know we have We have the Republican Party. We have the Democratic Party. We have the Constitutionalist Party. We have the Greenpeace Party. So you have many different options when you go to vote. But in the primary, you have to select one party and vote from there, where in the general, you can vote. Correct me if I'm wrong, you can vote for the different candidates from either party based off of that.
That's right. I agree.
And don't forget the Libertarians.
Yes, the Libertarian
That's
Party.
Right.
So why is it important for people to vote, number one? The most important question, why? I've talked to a lot of people this time, they said, I'm not going to vote. Why is it important for them to vote in the primary?
It's important that at that early stage of this tournament that your vote, which is your voice, is out there and you're selecting the person of the several who say they want to represent your party. Which one is the best in your opinion, and that's where you get to select that person, is at the primary.
So you, and most people look at someone who shares their similar likes, their similar values, and the primary is that way for you to see who has the similar interests, or there would be a good person to represent your own interests, because those that are elected govern on behalf of the many.
That's right. And where to find out, to follow up your point, Joseph, about where to go to find out the opinions of these folks is back on that vote411.org. It's an online voter guide. And what's interesting about it is it has the responses from the candidates. And if a candidate just hasn't had time yet to respond, it will also tell you that.
Yes, and another thing Vote411 does is it lists on there a link to upcoming debates and forums, because, yes, Vote411 is a great place to read responses from candidates. Our forums are another place to be face-to-face or from the audience and to hear their responses to questions. And you, each member of the audience, has an opportunity to submit a written question, which could be selected to be read. We try to read every single question that comes from the audience. We at least select at least one question that represents perhaps a category of interest from the audience.
And there is another format that I have seen used in some different leagues, and that is sort of a meet and greet thing where the candidates stand up and they talk about 4 or 5 minutes worth of why one should vote for them, and then they go to a table where they have their promotional material and people just sort of chat with them. It's a little bit different kind of a style.
Why is it important for people to be educated about the ballot? When I was on Urban Connections, where I got my start with Donna Wolf, we had candidates on for the city council that ran in the previous cycle. And one of the council members, one of the individuals who ran, said people in certain neighborhoods spend more time determining what type of cell phone they're going to buy than who it is they're going to vote for. And then what they do is they show up on uninformed at the polls, somebody hands them a sheet of paper and they vote for that person. Why should people take the time to be educated about who they should vote for in the candidates?
Well, you know, voting is, in my opinion, the cornerstone of our democracy. Democracy is not a spectator sport. We all need to participate to ensure that democracy thrives. Now, it does take time and effort to be an educated voter. And that's why we want to alert your listeners to vote411.org. And in fact, if there is a listener at home with a computer nearby, he or she might log on right now. That person would put in his or her personal address and see the ballot that comes up. Joseph, I did a little bit of homework because I really want to make a contribution to your series. And do you know that in Cass County, when I went to one location ballot, now remember there can be different ballots in different jurisdictions even within a county, but in Cass County I found a ballot of one voter that would have 17 different decisions to be made. That voter would vote on 17 different people or issues. The next one would be in the Plaza area. In my own area, my own ballot showed that I'm going to have to make 14 decisions. We go down to Eastern Jackson County. One of the ballots has 13. Platte County in one location has 12. And Clay County, 11. It's not easy to be educated. So we do our best to make vote411.org helpful.
And what people have to understand is that if you live in Kansas City, there's going to be question one. But Kansas City is broken up into three jurisdictions. We are in Jackson, Clay, and Platte counties. So they may vote for one person for one thing, but if you live in Clay or Platte, you may have different things on your ballot. So that's one of the reasons why you want to be informed. I can remember a couple of years ago where there was like 60 people on an item, and we had to get that information out really, really quick. So,
yeah, so it is really important to spend a little time to know what will be on the ballot before Election Day. Now, I can mention that in Missouri, in our area, all of us, every voter in Missouri is going to be voting for a U.S. senator, for a state auditor. They will be voting on Missouri Proposition A, otherwise known as Right to Work, and they will be voting for a U.S. representative for their own district. Now, in our listening area, Clay, Platte, Jackson, Eastern Jackson, we have at least four different U.S. representative districts, 4, 5, and 6.
We are a caller. We let that go. So we lost them. If you want to give us a call back, they were saying they were using 411, but it wasn't actually working for them. So that was the comment they had got, so I was get that information out. So sometimes there's a difficulty, but sometimes you just have to maybe go in and double-click and refresh.
They might, yeah, I would agree with that. They might try https://vote411.org. That might get them there.
So there is a deadline for registration for the primary. So has the deadline for the primary registration in Missouri and Kansas both passed?
Yes, they have.
So you have to have already been registered to vote in order to vote in the upcoming election.
Well, yeah, that's right. And one thing on the Kansas side, and I'm not sure how this works on Missouri, but I know Evelyn will tell us, and that is advance voting. We currently have 6 different locations in Johnson County that are open from essentially 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Please go to the website of the Johnson County Election Office, jocoelection.org, to find out where they are located and their hours. But that's convenient, and I have heard, when I was doing some election training just yesterday, that we are running quite ahead of the normal advance ballot turn-in. People like to do that because they can go anywhere to these 6 as they run around errands, and then on Election Day, it's a little bit less of a wait, if there is a wait, although we have a new electronic system that really is very fast in Johnson County.
So quick question. So what you're talking about in Kansas, they have early voting.
That is correct.
So is that Monday through Saturday, early voting?
And it's been going on for about the last week and a half, and I want to be careful and say to folks, get on the Johnson County election website, jocoelection.org, for the specific hours, days, and times.
Now in Missouri, we don't have advanced early voting. We have absentee voting, which we're getting ready to discuss, but we don't have advanced voting. And what absentee voting is that if you meet one of the criteria, that you will be away from your polling place on the day of the election, then you can go and vote in advance. So what it says, if you'll be absent from your voting jurisdiction on Election Day, are incapacitated or confined due to illness or physical disability, are caring for an incapacitated person, are restricted by religious beliefs or practice, are employed by an election authority, are incarcerated but have retained all your voting qualifications, or are a participant in Missouri's Safe at Home program, if you're qualified, then you can go and vote in advance. And you can do that in Kansas City at the Kansas City Election Board, which is located in Union Center. And then you can go to, if you're in Clay or Platte, you can go to the election authorities in those particular cities and vote.
That's true, because what you just described is a Missouri regulation, so that would be true throughout Missouri. And, of course, they can mail back their ballot for absentee ballot rather than go in, but that's up to the person, as you know, what to do. I want to mention also that a lot of people do not know, I would say most people do not know, that in Missouri you can get a permanent absentee ballot. You can apply for one, and your election board will automatically mail to you the application for the ballot at each election, rather than having to apply separately. Because if you're a voter that you know you're going to be hospitalized on Election Day, or you know you're going to be out of town, of course you're going to take action to have the ballot mailed to you.
And I know in some places in Kansas City that people may go around and bring the ballot or help them with that, but if you're a voter, you cannot have anyone else fill out your ballot. The ballot has to be filled out and signed by you, so that's something that people really need to know, is that you are the only one that can fill out that ballot. And like my dad, he suffers, he has a medical condition, but he can't, so he can't vote because nobody else can fill out that ballot for him. It has to be the person that's registered that fills out that ballot.
Now, that's a little different in Kansas, let me just say, because we are permitted to have an assistant, and it's on the form when you fill out this written advance ballot that a certain person helped, and what was the circumstance for that?
So there's always been a cloud around this issue. And the issue is, if somebody has a felony, but they've served their time, can they vote? What is the rule in Missouri about an individual who may be a felon if they can vote?
The rule is that if you're not on paper, you may vote. Now, for anybody who has a concern about whether he or she may vote, the best thing to do is call the election board that pertains to that residence and ask that election board, what is the rules and what do I need to do to ensure that I am on the rolls as an eligible voter?
And if you need that number for the election board, it's 816-8816. For Jackson County, it's going to be 816. Give me a second. I've got so many notes here. 816. Thank you. It is going to be 816-842-4820 for Kansas City, and for Jackson County is 816-325-4600. And you can, if you have questions, you can go to kceb.org for Kansas City and look it up. And for Jackson County, it is jceb.co.jackson.mo.us for Jackson County's website. So in Kansas, can a felon vote in Kansas?
I would advise listeners to absolutely check with the Johnson County Election Office. And once again, that is jocoelection.org. And the phone number there is 913-715-6800.
We're going to continue with Missouri, specifically Kansas City. There has been one change that's been a significant change to the Kansas City Election Board, and pursuant to judgment order of the Circuit Court of Jackson County, Missouri, issued on July 31st, 2018, the primary election for the office of Jackson County Sheriff should not have appeared on the August 2018 ballot primary, and therefore any votes cast for any office shall not be released or certified by the election board. And this goes back to a little bit of a turmoil, as in the previous sheriff stepped down and there should not have been an election because his term was not over. So, Ellen, tell us how this is going to be.
Yes, I'm Evelyn.
Evelyn, you're so close.
Kansas City.
Evelyn,
yes.
Can you tell us how this is going to be handled in Jackson County, the sheriff?
Yes, it will appear on the ballot because the ballot's already printed, and if a person votes for the sheriff, it will not be counted. So, in effect, there will be no effect on the result following the election because no votes will be counted for sheriff.
So, how will they determine then? What will be the process? So that, from what I read, they're going to get one person. The Democratic Committee people are going to select a person that will appear on the general ballot in November.
That's what I understand, also.
Okay, so it's election day. It's August the 7th, Tuesday, we're in Kansas City. What time? First question we need to know is, what time do the polls open?
Well, in Kansas City, Missouri, in Missouri, the polls open at 6 a.m. and go until 7 p.m. And we also have a law in Missouri that permits a person to request time away from the job for up to 3 hours if necessary to vote. However, it also requires that that would be possible only for a person whose job interfered, who had less than 3 hours remaining to vote. Okay. So it's important for voters to know that right in Missouri.
And what Missouri had a law that changed last year, and it's called Show It to Vote. What do you need now to vote? Because before you used to be able to take your car, you can take your voter registration card, and some people just walked in with other different types of picture ID, a work ID, but it's changed now. And option one, I know it says Missouri driver's license, Missouri non-driver's license, a passport, or a military ID, which is all, those are all federal, state and federal IDs. And then there's option two that people can use. And what are some of those option twos that people can use?
Well, option two is essentially the same documents as we're used to voting with prior to passage of Amendment 6 requiring a photo ID. So it does take your voter registration card, and that does mean your voter ID card, an ID from a Missouri university, your utility bill, your bank statement, as long as your name and your address on that document is the same as the election board has. One change is that in addition to showing this document confirming your name, your address, you will also be asked to sign a statement. And that statement will say, I am acknowledging that I do not have a government-issued photo ID, and you must sign it. And then you're eligible, then you may vote.
Okay. So in Kansas, what do you need to vote in Kansas, Ellen?
Well, and let me just say, our polls are open 7 to 7. There's always a little bit of confusion about that, but for the primary election, it's 7 to 7. So certainly the driver's license with a photo ID is the one that most folks have when they come into the polls. But there are others. There's state ID, a card that's issued if you're a state, local, or federal employee. But once again, don't forget this has to have a photo on it, U.S. military. And here's an interesting one, and I think you had a similar one there in Missouri, Kansas student ID from an accredited post-secondary, say college, education institution. Then there are a couple of others. Once again, go to the Johnson County Election Office for details about that.
Well, Missouri does want everyone to vote, so there is quite a liberalization in permitting, although the photo ID is required, there's liberalization in permitting those people to vote who don't have one. And in fact, Joseph, there's even a provision if you go to the polls, you have no ID with you, you can vote a provisional ballot. We hope everybody goes with acceptable ID, because a provisional ballot does require the voter to sign an envelope into which the ballot is put, and that signature is scrutinized at the election board to see that it matches what's on file from that voter.
And what exactly is a provisional ballot? For those who may not know what a provisional ballot is.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is a ballot that is handled manually by the election board, whereas otherwise a voter might put a paper ballot in a machine and the machine processes. The voter might stand at a computer screen and make selections while voting. The provisional ballot is entirely a manual process. That signature on the provisional ballot must be compared to the one on file.
So if you lost your ID, say you lost your wallet the day before, you didn't have any other ways, you could vote a provisional ballot. Or if you go to the wrong, say you go someplace else and there's a discrepancy, then you can ask to cast a provisional ballot.
Yes, and I went through that procedure once. And in addition to signing the envelope into which the ballot is put, because the ballot remains anonymous when it's counted, there was also a statement on there on accompanying the envelope. Don't really remember what it said, but it pretty much said, I promise to be the person I represent.
So does Kansas have to, can I vote provisionally in Kansas with a provisional ballot?
Oh, yes. Same kind of a situation. If for whatever reason the individual is not found, and we have a highly automated poll register for all the folks who have registered to vote, if for some reason that individual is not found with a match, then they are directed to do a paper provisional ballot. In the same way, it's an anonymous ballot, of course, but then they have to sign the envelope and put the reason is put down by one of the election workers. Why is this? The person, let's say, like had lost it the day before. I do want to comment that in Kansas, there is a declaration of religious objection that a person can do to not have a photo ID, but that must be done before Election Day. And finally, if they're medically qualified, we talked about this a little bit earlier, they can have a status as permanent advanced mail ballot. All of that, again, check out the Johnson County Election Office for details.
And Ellen, you just mentioned something that is of concern to, should be of concern to all voters, and that is that the need to keep your registration current. You mentioned a voter can be surprised, go to the poll, they don't find that voter on the register. That's why voters need to always report a change of address and a change of name to their election board. And in fact, a good idea is to always check that your registration is valid. You can go online to your own election board, or Vote 411 has a link to show your own registration, so you can confirm you're actually validly registered with the right name and address.
You're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio station. This is Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. And today we're talking with representatives from the League of Women Voters, Ms. Evelyn and Ms. Ellen. And we're talking Kansas City and Kansas elections. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break. And we're back. This is Joseph Jackson, host of Cowtown Conversations. And today we're talking with Evelyn and Ellen of the League of Women Voters, and we're talking elections in Kansas City, Missouri area, and also Missouri and Kansas. So we've gotten to the polls, we showed up on time, we've got our right ID, we don't have to cast a provisional ballot. So what's the next step we're going to have to look at? Because I know everybody's, if you look at TV, it's either paper or touchscreen, and we've heard that machines can be, there's worry about the machines, the safety of the machines. Can we talk a little bit about that? What are your thoughts on that? So is it a paper or electronic touchscreen ballot?
Well, let me talk about Johnson County as part of a larger Kansas statewide activity. The county has recently gotten what I will call a combination of touchscreen and paper. And this system takes your photo ID that you present when you walk in, and it scans that. The back of our Kansas driver's license, for example, has, you know, a little barcode thing. Scans that, and then it prints out up after a couple of steps, prints out your precinct and your party. Now, because remember, this is a primary election where we have to declare a party. Then you take that to the touchscreen device, and the worker there loads in, scans the information about your precinct and your party, and up comes the ballot on the screen. So you press the buttons and go next, next, next till you're done. And at the very end of that, you have an opportunity. It says print ballot. Aha. So what happens is that there is a piece of paper that comes out, and it has exactly what you have pressed in the way of buttons. So you can look at it and say, yes, that is what I want. You stick it right back in the machine. That is then scanned, and that is the result. And those paper ballots go down into a holder and are kept for 22 months. So that there is a combination of electronic and paper record of a specific vote that has just occurred on that machine.
And the Kansas City Election Board, which serves central Kansas City within Jackson County, has new voting machines. And I think the process is essentially what you described. I do not know how long our ballots are kept after an election. I do not know that. The League of Women Voters of Kansas City, Jackson, Clay, and Black Counties were invited to test Canada, different vendors' voting machines before Kansas City Election Board made a decision. We also send an observer to the Kansas City Election Board meetings, and we try also to attend the election boards in the other adjoining counties, just to keep abreast of what's happening there. Now, we are convinced from the conversations we've heard at the Kansas City Election Board that they're taking voter security, election security, very, very seriously. And all kinds of measures are taken to ensure that the system is secure. And I think this is a good time for us to give a shout out to all the election workers. You know, those election workers are paid a nominal amount to be there at the poll site from even before 6 a.m. until even after 7 a.m. So we do thank those people who work the polls.
And if you ever want, I worked it when President Obama ran for his first term. If you ever want to see democracy in action, the pay is minimal. It's about $100, but it works out well if you're a senior citizen, someone on fixed income. But, and they're always looking for people to work, so you can go to kceb.org, or all, if you're in Kansas, you can check Johnson County or Wyandotte County for that. So they're always doing that. But also, one of the other things the election board does is they do voter education, voter training. If you ever want to see how the machines work, you can go there. And those things are always on their website. So in Jackson County, it's kceb.org. And you can, it's an education that you, it's priceless. I'll just say that you learn a lot.
And it does occur to me, Joseph, also, that when you mentioned the need to ensure our elections are secure, we also have a need to ensure that every voter gets to vote who is eligible. So the Kansas City League of Women Voters participates with the Advancement Project, a nonpartisan, nonprofit organization, to train poll monitors to stand outside the poll site. Poll monitors wear a bright green vest, and they are there to ask exiting voters, were you able to vote? Because if somebody said, no, I wasn't, they didn't allow it, we have the means by which to connect that voter with a professional who can intercede to ensure that that voter gets to vote if he's really eligible to vote.
Following up on the voting voting event itself, as you leave the polls, you get a nice sticker in Johnson County that said, I just voted. And that's good. A week or so after the election is the official canvass. And what that is when the Board of County Commissioners meet and the election officer reports what are the official results. And that's a combination of the provisional ballots and all of those that have been cast either advance or on the 7th of August. And the election officer also says things such as there were perhaps, and I'm making this up, but there were perhaps 43 out of the thousands that were filed, 43 provisional ballots that couldn't be accepted and couldn't be counted. Let's say that the person forgot to sign the envelope, so we never knew. That's one thing that can happen. I've also seen it. I've been at these canvasses several times. Another one is that an advance ballot came in, and on the outside of the envelope in Johnson County, you not only have to sign your signature, but put down your address. Well, they forgot to do it. So the canvass is very important because that is the official final results. And there may be questions from the county commissioners, well, what about this or that statistic? And sometimes the election officers go back for several hours to clarify something, especially where they have had to hand count those provisional ballots.
We've got a caller. Caller, can you tell us your name and where you're calling from and what your question or comment is?
David, West Plaza.
Yes, David. What's your question or comment?
Well, I've been an election judge for quite a long time for the Kansas City Board of Elections, and they're a fine organization to work for. And also, I may encourage people that for regular judges, you get $185 for the day. Now, before every election, you have to go to a class, and that takes, you know, hour and a half to 2 hours out of your time. And work day does start at 5 o'clock because we got to be there at 5. And we don't leave till about 8. So it's not much of a day. I mean, that's not a bad day. It gets to be kind of a long day, I guess. But I encourage people, we need election judges. And $185 for the day, yeah, I think is pretty good pay.
That's, you know, definitely good. That for one day's worth of work, that's essentially – you know,
and a 2-hour class before the election. It's always like a recap class, you know, they bring you up to snuff on what we're voting for and what's going on. And like, we just got new election machines on the Missouri side in Kansas City, and these new machines are the old ones were awful. They were made terribly. They were just plastic inside. They broke. And now we got these new machines, and they're great. And we don't give you a receipt yet with a number on it. You know, we got to keep things anonymous and stuff. But we're getting real close, and I really do encourage them. These new machines are so much better than what we had before. It's really, we've come around quite a bit. So I'm really encouraged.
Well,
plus, you work with a great people. I mean, at my poll, at the end of the election last time, I turned to all my election judges and said, hey, you know, this has been really great today. You know, everybody gets along. We had a great time, you know. So we need judges. So, you know, especially in Kansas City, it's not bad pay. And just go down to the Union Station to the Board of Elections down there and sign up.
It's not too late to sign up either, is it?
Oh, no, it is. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, everybody's assignment's out. You already got your assignment and everything. Yeah, yeah.
But so, I would suppose they're recruiting for the general election already.
Oh, please. I'm going to need a lot. And now, like, at this election, there'll be 8 of us present at the poll. And everybody's got a little task now. You don't have to do everything. You know, if you just want to hand out ballots, we'll let you do that. You know, if you want to work with the tablet over there at the table and check people in, you can do that.
So if you're looking for a way to supplement some income and make almost $200 for a 2-hour class and a 1-day shift, that's a great way.
Work with somebody like me, you know. Hey.
Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
So we've got another caller. Caller on line 2. Can you tell us your name and what your comment or question is? Hello?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, Rich Schaefer from Independence.
Yes, Rich, what's your question or comment?
These amendments coming from the right are becoming ever more confusing, the language that is used. And the reason is because of the think tanks that are involved in putting these amendments together. Now, Proposition A is confusing for those that are not thinking independently and don't read very carefully what they're voting on. So it would be very helpful for your panel to explain what they're voting for or against on a yes or no vote on Proposition A.
We will cover that. Thank you so much. We'll cover that in our closing seconds. So thank you so much for your call.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. No, we've lost a caller. So if you were called in, give us a call back. We've got Proposition A on the ballot. Can you explain a little bit what Proposition A is? And we all know it's the right to work.
Yeah, and that's on the Missouri ballot. And Proposition has to do with how the Missouri General Assembly did pass legislation that would require that, require that no employee would be required to belong to a union to hold a job in the state of Missouri. So Proposition A on the ballot says, do you want to uphold this legislation that has been passed? And if you do, you vote yes. If you do not want to uphold that legislation so that Missouri's situation would remain the same that it is, which is not right to work. That's really a misnomer, frankly. But vote no. So it's a yes vote. If you want to uphold what the legislature did, vote no. If you do not want to uphold what the legislature did.
And I want to read something quickly that came out of by the Kansas City Star Election Board. Political memoism are often misleading. They should probably go straight to the recycling bin. The latest example is a large colorful postcard. On the first glance, or even second, seems to be pro-union. It's not. Paid for by Koch Brothers Libertarian Advocacy Group for American Prosperity, it features a older gentleman in a denim jacket with a beat-up ball cane saying, "Right to Work ensures that my union keeps working hard for me." Right to Work, which will be on the Missouri ballot August 7th, or proper A, as it's known, does the opposite. It's a way which to reduce funds to go to unions, and a lot of the labor leaders see this as life or death, just not here but in Missouri, meaning nationwide. Workers can already opt out of full union membership and pay only for collective bargaining, but under right-to-work laws, employees can decide to not chip in anything for union representation. A no vote on Proposition 8 is a vote to keep right-to-work from going into effect. A yes vote on Proposition 8 is to make Missouri a right-to-work state. So that's straight language, and you can find out for that. We've got a caller.
Yeah, and Joseph, I did misspeak when I said a voter would not be required to. The issue is the employee would not be required to contribute to the union at all. That's the issue at heart.
We've got a caller. Caller, can you tell us your name and where you're calling from and what your comment or question is?
Yes, hi, my name is Marge. I am from Kansas City, Kansas, and I'm also a member of the League of Women Voters. I wanted to just say that I wanted to put out the information about Wyandotte County voting. If anybody needs to get information about that, there is early voting going on. The phone number is 913-573-8500, and the website is wycovotes.org.
Thank you so much for that. So,
okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So there you've got it. You've got information on Wyandotte County. We've covered Kansas City, and we're covering Johnson County. The Proposition A and Question 1 in Kansas City were called nonpartisan topics. Can you explain, Evelyn, what nonpartisan are?
Well,
you're too close. Too many E's.
That's right. Nonpartisan is the word that describes the situation of not being partisan for a political party, not being partisan for a candidate. It does not mean not taking a position on an issue. At the League of Women Voters, we can take a position on a ballot issue. We do not have a position on Prop A. We do have a position on Question 1 having to do with the residential rental program, otherwise known as Healthy Homes.
And what is the official position on Question 1?
Our Kansas City League's position on Question 1 is that we do support passage of Question 1. That means we do support the provisions that would require landlords to pay $20 a year and then other fees associated with inspections. Our position since 1988 on the national level has been that we do advocate for decent and suitable living arrangements for all Americans.
We've got a caller. Can you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
Hi, this is Judy, and I'm calling from Kansas City, Kansas.
Okay.
And I just wanted to add something about Proposition A that a lot of people don't know, which is that the union, by law, has to represent workers whether they're members of the union or not. So if Proposition 8 were to pass, that means that the workers who are paying dues or are members of the union have to bear the cost of representation for the people who choose not to pay anything to the union, because the union has to represent them through arbitration, which can cost thousands of dollars. And so it's manifestly unfair to those people who continue to pay union dues to let the other people be free riders. And Proposition 8 makes it illegal for a union and a company to negotiate an agreement where everybody has to pay their fair share.
Thank you so much. So we've covered a lot of topics today. So now we clarified Proposition A and Question 1. So thank you so much, Judy.
You're welcome. Bye.
So in Missouri, in Kansas City, you're going to be looking at voting on the county legislator, the county legislator for District 1, county executive, county legislator for District 1, county legislator for District 2, county legislator for District 3, county legislator for District 4, county legislator for District 6, county legislator for District 1 at large, District 2 at large. There's going to be state representatives on there. The sheriff will not count, so it won't be taken. There will also be committee persons on there. And then you're going to have Proposition A and question one. Now, in Kansas, we see there's going to be having a primary for the governor's election to select the top two candidates. And I know we've got a couple other state rep races or any other races that are going to be important in Kansas for people to come out and vote for.
Well, certainly the congressional district number 3 is an important race. There are several contestants on both the Democratic Party side and on the Republican side. So it'll be important to see who emerges from those races. Our Board of County Commissioners, of the 7 seats, 4 of them are up, and those also will be on that ballot. But once again, good information to be gotten at vote 411. One thing I wanted to say before we run out of time here is that both of our leagues, Evelyn's league in Kansas City and over on Johnson County side, we are cooperating on Wednesday, the 22nd of August, a noon program called Saving Democracy, It's Our Job, and it's part of the Bi-State Women's Equality Week, going to be at Colonial Church, Prairie Village, and those folks who are going to attend, it's a noon thing, brown bagger, find out what you can do.
And I think that's just one example about how local leagues, whether it's Kansas City, Johnson County, Lawrence, Topeka, Springfield, we all cooperate and we do share common beliefs about what we need to do to help protect democracy and to advocate for voters. So we do want to mention that the League of the Women Voters is a national organization, League of Women Voters of U.S. We have our state organizations, League of Women Voters of Missouri and Kansas, and then down to the local sites.
So as we vastly running out of time here, can you give people the vote 411 information again, and also the website and contact information for the League of Women Voters?
It is vote411.org, and if you have issues reaching it, try the https://. Then vote411.org. We can be reached by email at lwvkcjcp@gmail.com. And I'll have to look up the phone number while Ellen tells you her contact information.
Yeah, League of Women Voters Johnson County. Check out our website, lwvjoco.org. Follow us on Facebook. And as to our phone number, well, I don't have it either.
Well, we do most communication by email, obviously.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Well, and getting on the website.
Also, check that. I'd like to thank you for being our guest today. We never end Cowtown Conversation without our Community Minute. This Saturday, August the 4th, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., the KCND Public Schools is offering Summerfest. It's an opportunity for students of all ages to celebrate and prepare for the new school year. The event will feature live music, athletic competitions, educational games, and free food. In preparation for school, students will have the opportunity to receive a free backpack, school supplies. So to pre-register, reserve your student's backpack, go to www.kcpublicschools.org/summerfest. And also, there is a free 10-hour OSHA certification for general industry and construction, a two-day training on Friday, August the 3rd, and Monday, August the 5th, from 8:30 to noon at 3210 Michigan, which is connecting to good. For more information, contact Danny Timmons at 816-433-1237. And also, most important is that this weekend is sales tax holiday in Missouri. From August 3rd to August 5, you don't have to pay sales tax on school clothes, school supplies, computers, KCMO stores. You won't have to pay any city sales tax, and this works in conjunction with Missouri's annual tax-free weekend. So clothing with the value of $100 or less, school supplies, books, notebooks, paper, pen, chalk, anything not to exceed $50 and less purchases, personal computers with a value of less than $1,500, computer software $350 or less, computer hardware drives, computer peripheral devices not to exceed $1,500, graphing calculators not to exceed $150. So this is the weekend that you can save more money, and your money will go further on your children's school supplies. It was one I always took advantage of when my kids were that age. For Cowtown Conversations, I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Tune in next week. We're going to have another great show. Stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.